Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of His beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Good morning. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm from Pointer Landscape, and I'm your host here today. I hope you guys, you're feeling okay. The whiplash from this weather from last week to this week is something else. I think last weekend we had our first freeze, and now we're back into short sleeves, and it's feeling kind of humid and muggy out there, kind of nuts. Fall color looks really great. You know, things are looking like fall, not necessarily feeling like fall today, but you know, you never can keep up with the weather here in St. Louis. I have a guest for you again today. Her name is Margaret Cartaya. She is a colleague of mine from Pointer Landscape. Margaret's passion for horticulture began while volunteering at the Temperate and Linnaean houses of the Botanical Gardens. Her love for the outdoors quickly confirmed that a career in gardening was the perfect fit. She pursued evening horticulture classes at Merrimack and gained practical hands-on experience at Forest Park, where she established lasting friendships and industry connections. Margaret now focuses on working with residential clients to design, maintain, and enhance their beautiful properties and landscapes. Margaret, thanks for coming.
Hello, good morning, Michelle.
I just saw Margaret yesterday. She sits about 3 feet from me. Her desk is right next to mine. So, you know, I made her come in and spend a sixth day of the week with me. So thank you for coming.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
What do you do at Pointer?
Well, we were just talking about how distant we are today. We're closer to 6 feet apart today. At Pointer, we are focusing on maintenance. I do a little bit of design and redesign, but in the maintenance department, we are really in the swing of fall cleanups and just starting our renewal process for 2026.
It's Margaret's favorite thing. You know, Margaret's a horticulturist, and I don't know if you guys know this about horticulturists, but they like to be outside. They like to get dirt under their fingernails, and I am making Margaret do contract renewals all through the winter, so she's going to be kind of sitting in our dungeon basement office doing renewals for the next few months. So she's kind of hoping that this warmer weather stays around, she can stay outside. So what is that like for your sell-in maintenance? We have our ongoing maintenance clients. What does that mean, renewing contracts for those maintenance clients?
Well, we start the process, we started the process a little while ago talking about any kind of changes to the contract language and anything that we noticed where we were lacking or needed to kind of change just slightly to better serve clients. And that's hours, or do we need different equipment and that sort of thing. But right now we are getting together and looking at we've overbid clients or underbid clients. And there's
all
both.
That good stuff.
All that good stuff. And working towards making sure we're in line for 2026. I am on people's properties talking about what we're going to do in fall versus spring. And what kind of program will work for them. So we have basic program, which is 5 visits a year. We're talking about making that 6. So we have a dormant pruning visit in February or March. Some clients have bigger properties, or there's more plants or more detail work that needs to be done, and there's a preferred program where we're there every month. And then we have some clients who like us to be on call. So there's a preferred plus program as well, where we're there every month. And then we also come multiple times, kind of in the busier seasons in spring and fall.
It's like a custom plan based on whatever the client might need.
That's right.
That's awesome. I hope you love your job, and that's not, I might have a little bit of bias to that because Margaret helps me out immensely. Margaret, how did you even get into horticulture? I know in your bio we talked about how, you have a love of the outdoors and all of that good stuff, but tell us a little bit about your background and how you got to be a professional horticulturist.
I think like most of us, it started with just a love of the outdoors. We grew up and sort of were sent outside a lot.
Yeah.
And at this point, I started a white-collar job. I was in an office, and I really missed being outside, and just the chance to be outside from my walk from the office to the car was not sufficient.
Yeah.
And at the time, I lived across the street from the botanical gardens, and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to volunteer. And started there and loved the community. I'm sure most of the people who listen to this show know, but plant people are the best kind of people.
I agree. Yeah. Yes. We're weird, though.
Yeah, weird, but in a good way.
Yeah.
And the amount of community and just sharing knowledge and wanting to work together and help each other, I don't think is unique to horticulture, but it is certainly special and prevalent among almost everyone I've met who works in the field.
I think that's really, a lot of people ask me what my favorite part of the job is or, like things like that. But one of my favorite things is, the people that you get to meet. And, horticulturists and gardeners like to share information. I don't know how many industries or how many jobs out there where you go and you're talking to your quote unquote competitor or somebody that's else is in the field. And you're saying what tools are you using? How are you doing that? How are you building that? Mm-hmm. And I think so much about, our industry and gardening in general is about that community. It's about the people and the connections that you make along the way. And you're right, it does make it special. Margaret and I are going to be here for the next couple of hours. We want to talk to you guys about what you have going on in your yards, any questions that you might have about fall gardening tasks. That number to call is going to be 314-436-7900. Hopefully you guys can test our horticulture knowledge. Margaret, what else is going on out in the fall right now? For our listeners, what are you seeing out there that could help benefit them out when they're out gardening in this 80-degree weather?
The way that our weather in Missouri goes up and down, and especially this year, it seems. Pre-emergent has been really helpful for a lot of our clients, and it is noticeable when we're seeing new clients who do not have pre-emergent applied pretty regularly, because that it basically stops seeds from germinating in beds. And we're seeing a lot of cool weather weeds and even some warm weather weeds pop up. And the difference between that is the soil temperature and what germinates when. Our weed season every year seems to get slightly longer. Mm-hmm. And we need to kind of help prevent that with our regular application. It's every 2 months about we try to put pre-emergent down for our clients.
It is. The weeds are, if you're a gardener, you probably have, like a pretty strong hatred for weeds, but when you're a professional and that's all you're looking at and you just want things to slow down and go to sleep and, you know, so you can have a little bit of a break. But this kind of weather, this fluctuating weather, the long bouts of fall never quite cooling off, really keeps those weeds going. So it's a fun problem to have, I guess. Anyway, guys, we're going to take a quick break. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call to ask Margaret and I your questions about gardening, about tasks you might need to get done, anything you can think of that might be going on with the plants in your yard or home. This is the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. It's the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by another Pointer landscaper. We have Margaret Kartaya here, horticulturist for Pointer, and we're going to be trying to answer all your garden and plant-related questions. The number to call or text if you don't want to call, 314-436-7900. We've been talking about fall tasks. We've been talking about maintenance. We have a caller on the line. We'll see what Dan has to say. Dan, go ahead with your question.
Hi, my question is about crabgrass. So I've got a lot in my front and in my backyard, and it's kind of cumbersome just to pull it out by hand. And my question is there anything, a product out there I can buy to spread over my lawn so that I could kill it or at least lay the groundwork to lay grass seed over rather than picking it up by hand?
Hey, Dan. This is Margaret. Yeah, there are a number of products that you can use throughout the year. So this segues really nicely into what we were just talking about with the cool season and warm season weeds. Crabgrass is a warm season weed, and it tends to germinate at about when the soil temperature is 50 to 55 degrees. And when it is starting to germinate, you can put down corn gluten. Now, that tends to be in the spring application. And you can also put down a later fall corn gluten application, and that's going to help control the seeds from germinating and stopping the initial growth of crabgrass. But it sounds like you already have... Go ahead.
Corn gluten? Is that what you said?
Yep, corn gluten.
Oh, okay. And then you were asking me a question. I'm sorry. Go ahead, please.
It sounds like you already have quite a bit of crabgrass in your lawn. Is that right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it's patchy, and I'm just trying to get rid of it.
Okay. So best practice is to have, like, a really healthy lawn, and part of that is going to be mowing it a little bit higher. So do you know what kind of grass you have?
I think it's fescue. I cut it very low. Very low.
Okay.
So,
well, that's not helping. Right. That's not helping the crabgrass. So try to set your mower to at least 3 inches, and that's going to help. And fescue will do really well with a 3-inch cut, that will really help shade out the crabgrass. Pulling by hand is definitely a method of control if you're comfortable doing that and you have time to do that. You can also use an herbicide, but you have to be pretty careful about just hitting the crabgrass and not killing your lawn. And you do want to, we're a little past the window to be overseeding at this point. I mean, we do still have very warm weather. You could try to get grass seed to grow, just keeping it consistently moist until we get freezing weather again, which might be next weekend, unfortunately. It's a tough time of year.
Who knows?
You can try
to get... Well, thank you very, very much for this.
Of course. Thanks for the call.
Thanks for the question, Dan.
Okay.
Margaret, you mentioned corn gluten, and that might be something that people haven't heard of. Could you tell us, it's a pre-emergent, could you tell us a little bit about the corn gluten product that you're referring to?
Sure. Corn gluten is an organic pre-emergent, which basically the chemical process, which I'm sure we don't want to get into on air.
You don't have to get that nerdy.
Michelle knows I wear the nerd hat in the office.
That's
for
true.
Sure. But it basically stops seeds from germinating. And that is also what other products, I'm not sure if we're supposed to use product names.
You can.
Okay. But like Preen or other granulars or spray that you can get at the big box stores also use chemical processes to stop seeds from germinating. And corn gluten works similarly. You do want to read the label, as always, whenever you're using any kind of chemical product, organic or not. And it will tell you specifically what kind of soil temperature and what kind of weather you're supposed to be putting it down on in. That really helps it be more effective for you.
Yeah, great information. It's a great product. You know, we've really been trying at Pointer to use products or to switch over to products when we can. And this corn gluten, you know, isn't always the best option as a pre-emergent in your beds because it is so important to get the timing right.
Yep.
It is also a, like a nitrogen fertilizer. So if you get it down at the wrong time, you could just be growing your weeds even bigger. But a great product that we've been trying out. It's an organic pre-emergent, which some people listening might think is an oxymoron. But, you know, we're just trying to see what kind of products that are out there that are organic, that are hopefully going to work for you. But corn gluten, if you haven't tried it or heard of it, you can get that at a lot of your garden centers are starting to stock that product. So it's relatively easy to find. So try that out. Up next, we're going to go to Rosemary. Rosemary, you got a Christmas cactus you want to talk about?
I have. Before I get outside to start cleaning up the tomato patch, I'm looking at two plants that are inside, the amaryllis and the Christmas cactus. What do I do at this point? They're looking kind of sad.
That's a great question. Margaret, you wanna answer that one?
Well, I guess I need to know a little bit more about what's going on with where you're keeping them, how you're watering them. Are they what kind of sunlight are they getting? Why are they looking sad? Tell me more.
They are in the south window. They get very little water through the summer, but they get some water. And that's about it. I don't touch them. The amaryllis has three green long blades right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay. Well, it depends. So a lot of what we talk about it, in terms of plants, we're kind of they're kind of mushy terms, right? Like when we say I don't water them a lot might mean something very different for me versus Michelle.
Yeah.
And, you know, ask a horticulturist a botany question or a plant question and you will get three different answers from one person. So it depends. But usually I tend to soak from the bottom my Christmas cactus at least once a week. And I will give it fertilizer once I know we're kind of into that time of nearing bloom time. And it depends. We call them all Christmas cactus, but some of them bloom closer to Thanksgiving or closer to New Year's. So timing is going to kind of depend on your variety, and you're going to know best when that tends to bloom. But I would start giving it maybe a little bit of fertilizer a month or 2 months, and only once a month to help kind of that bloom cycle. So I think maybe you need a little bit more water. When you say you're not giving it much, how much are you watering it?
You know, like a quarter of a cup every 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, so that's going to depend on how big the pot is too. So how, Michelle, do you want to pop in here?
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that, that is interesting to me about cactus or Christmas cactus in general is that people think it's a cactus, so it doesn't need as much water. But there's different kinds of cactus out there. There are like desert cactus and there are forest cactus. And the Christmas cactus or Thanksgiving cactus, those guys actually are a type of cactus that like to be watered a little bit more, more regularly. So if it's only every 2 weeks, I would say you probably just need to up that watering a little bit. And depending on the size of your pot, what did you say, a fourth of a cup or a half of a cup is probably enough. I think probably just more regularly. And I liked Margaret's comment that she says she soaks it from the bottom. The other thing that I sometimes do is I will, you know, like put mine in the sink and really thoroughly water it. And I have drain holes, make sure I have drain holes in the bottom. And I make sure that it gets thoroughly soaked. And then I let it dry out for that next week or so. And then I do it again. But I think every 2 weeks on a Christmas cactus is probably not quite enough. And then What about the amaryllis? What's going on with that one? You said it has three leaves, but does it just look unhealthy or it's just not?
And those three blades are just kind of drooping.
Okay, well, that's probably
is
also...
Is this something you hide in the closet that we put in a drawer or something, though?
No, I think it probably is also water. So are you similarly watering it every other week? How are you watering
them? Same thing, about every other week.
Okay, and is it in soil or is it like on a...
It's in soil.
Okay.
It was a gift, one of those gifts at Christmas time.
Okay,
so
from last year.
I've had it
all
since
right.
last Christmas. Both all of them I've had since last Christmas.
Well, good for you, because I tend to not take care of my bulbs, amaryllis bulbs, for long enough to have them make it this long. I tend to get them every year because that's how I am. I spend all my time on other people's gardens. But generally speaking, I would try to water it on a weekly basis and see if that helps the leaves perk up. You're looking for rigidity, or it's called turgid leaves, but you're looking for them to be firm, and you're noticing that they're looking not great, and that's because they're kind of wilting.
Over.
Yeah, probably just needs a little bit more water, and just if you're currently at every other week, go to every week and see how it does.
Okay, well, I think I want one more question. What is that ladybug outside that really wants to get into the house? It looks like a ladybug, but I know it's not a ladybug.
Yeah, I call them ladybugs. I know that that's not right. It's just a type of beetle. And the name of that beetle is escaping me at the moment, but it is just like a mimic. But it's just a type of beetle that is really enjoying that bug, and the stink bug is kind of everywhere in our homes and our houses. They're kind of coming inside, and they are a little more active with this warmer weather, but it's just a type of beetle.
When it freezes, will they stop?
Yeah, they'll die. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's a great question. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Great question, and I suspect that there are a lot of people out there, wondering about these Christmas cactus. It's a very popular thing this time of year. Same with the amaryllis. If you guys aren't familiar with those amaryllis, they're kind of cool bulbs. They're kind of out. I see them out at a lot of stores and garden centers. They're kind of a fun little thing that you can experiment with. But I think Margaret said, I almost always just throw mine away. And they can be finicky to try to get those to over after it blooms, taking care of, how to, you have to like starve them of light and water. And I don't, it's a lot more than I'm willing to give energy to personally. So if anybody has any good tricks or information on how you take care of your amaryllis after it's done blooming, we'd love to hear it. We're going to take a quick break. The number to call with your question, 314-436-7900. It's the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser West from Pointer Landscape. I'm joined today from by Margaret Cartea from Pointer Landscape. And we are here answering all of your fall garden related questions, any plant questions that you might have. The number to call or text 314-436-7900. While we were on the break, I took a look at the text line, and somebody texted in that they looked it up, and I know you guys were all really wondering about those ladybugs from our previous caller, but they're called Asian ladybugs. And I looked it up further. These are it's a common thing, right, that we have in Missouri. We talked about that. They are they're bugs that they're trying to come inside because it's getting cold outside. And according to the Google, it says, and it's also through the Department of Conservation website, Asian lady beetles are often orange or tan and have a black M or W marking behind their head, while our native ladybugs, which is also common to have around this time of year trying to come inside your house, are typically a bright red with a cleaner shape and no M marking behind their head. So it could be either one coming in, so don't discredit those being ladybugs. They might actually well be ladybugs, but it does say that the Asian lady beetles are not a great bug to have around, while the ladybugs are very beneficial and will eat a lot of the other bugs that we don't think are beneficial in our garden. So really just a thing for me is just kind of a nuisance. It's not something that I'm really super worried about. And I kind of like having the little ladybugs around. So I don't know. Next caller we have is going to be Joe. Joe, you're on the Garden Hotline. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. I got a comment. Is how people pile up mulch against the trunk of trees and don't make a dish with it, and how it kills the trees.
Great. I love that comment.
And galls on pin oaks. The conservation first said years and years ago it wouldn't kill the tree, and it does. And there's a wasp that lays an egg in there, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Okay, now that worm in there is orange. Now, it doesn't become a wasp. It just lives its life in there, correct?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of networks busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Margaret, do you want to answer that?
I believe it is part of the life cycle of the wasp. So they do become wasps. It's now forgive me, I'm not an entomologist, but I believe that is the nymph cycle. Michelle, correct me if I'm wrong here.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they do eventually, if they survive that long and have enough nutrition, become wasps.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't realize they were orange. I don't know that I've ever cracked open a gall to see that. I'm going to have to do that now.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it either, but you are right. So for those of you guys out there listening, if you don't know what we're talking about, there are a few types of oak trees that can get these galls on their branches, and it's a response from a wasp that lays its eggs inside of that tree branch, and then the tree puts out this growth that looks, it's about a golf ball size, it's brown, it really can be alarming to see for some people. There are different levels of infestation within the trees, but these the larvae and the instars of these things grow for a long time inside the tree, and as they're growing, the tree puts on a large golf ball size growth. And they do say that this doesn't always kill your tree, right? It's aesthetic for a lot of trees. When we see problems is when we have a massive infestation And you, the galls are essentially girdling the branches. And you can start with seeing a little bit of branch drop. You know, girdling just means it's choking off any water or sugar or anything getting to the tips of the tree. It's basically choking out the tips. So you'll see a lot of tip dieback and branches will start dropping. And so when it becomes an issue is when it's a massive infestation. If it's a large infestation on a small tree, that could be harmful. And if it's a huge infestation on an established tree, that's when we start to see this branch by branch dieback, and it's more of like a decline of the tree and the tree's overall health from that gall. It's not the gall itself or the bugs itself that's killing the tree. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And but to go back also to your first comment, and Margaret will love to speak to piling up mulch around the base of the tree. Margaret, can you talk about what he's talking about and why that's bad for our trees?
Sure. So we often call that a mulch volcano, and we talk about this with new clients. Unfortunately, in the industry, sometimes we have people who don't know better, and so they do pile mulch up around our woody shrubs and trees. And what mulch? One of mulch's benefits to a garden is that it holds in moisture. But when you're putting that up against the bark of a tree, bark tissue is meant to protect the cambium layer, protect the wood, and it is also meant to breathe.
So I'm sorry, I'm going to interrupt you, Joe. You got a lot of background noise. Can you?
I'm sorry, I'm moving.
Yeah, sorry. There you go. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Margaret.
Okay. The first time on the radio, I don't know how to what the etiquette is. but the basically any kind of moisture that's consistently up against the hard tissue of bark is going to eventually weaken that bark, potentially cause rot, and become a disease vector. So you have insects that are better able to kind of bore into the wood. It's basically not good for a lot of reasons. If it's wet enough, sometimes a tree will try to grow roots into that mulch, and at that point we really have to just let it be.
I call it cone shape. They make it a cone shape.
Yes, that's right. Yep, we see that all around, and we definitely don't do it, we have training about that for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and these companies that come in, they'll go around Costco or the shopping centers, they're all putting it that way.
I do see it often in shopping centers. To go back to galls very briefly, to have a slight silver lining on the oak galls, our forefathers actually used oak gall ink. A friend of mine at Forest Park made some, and it's not terribly resistant to light, so a lot of older documents have to be protected from light, but they used it a lot in our foundational documents in the U.S. Isn't that fun?
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how. There's neighbors that got some real young pin oaks, and they already got galls on them.
Yeah, that's common. And, hopefully, like I said, with the younger trees, if they just have a few, hopefully that won't be a long-term issue for them, and that tree will continue to be healthy. But it's definitely something, if you have that on your tree, something to watch. It's also something, I always say on here, I don't believe that trees are a DIY situation. Anytime a tree has a disease or an issue, especially an older, established, larger tree, and even our young ones that we want to grow to be healthy, it is always my recommendation to get a certified arborist out to check out your trees. Again, it doesn't always feel like a DIY situation because they are so large. They can cause so much damage. They're so valuable. And often, there are pests or disease, bacterias or fungus. All kinds of things can be happening, which may or may not be able to be treated. You may or may not need to have pruning done to prune that out. And you can't tell by a phone conversation or photographs. It's so important if you have trees that you think are unhealthy in some way to call a local certified arborist out to check that out. But Joe, thanks so much for your call.
Okay, well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, I love that question. Margaret, I think it's one of the things that we, unfortunately, we talk about it a lot at work. When people are planting trees, even at our company, it's something that we constantly have to train our staff to do. It's not just that mulch pileup. If you start with planting your tree too low and then you put a little too much mulch on top after the planting, it's going to cause a lot of issues. So even, you know, if you're not a professional out there doing it, if you're not having a professional come over, if you're doing it yourself, it's super important. Look up some photographs or some instructions on how to plant a tree properly. Finding a root flare, which is where that trunk kind of flares out at the base and that first set of roots, and making sure that's above grade. And then you're making sure when you're putting that mulch around it that you are not covering up all that hard work that you just did to uncover the root flare. And you know, you'll have a happier, healthier tree. So there's this corny saying that everybody always says is plant them high, they never die. And I'm like rolling my eyes when I hear that out and about, but it is a true, sentiment, and, it is helpful for, especially for these big trees and getting them established. So great question from that caller. If you guys have a question you want to ask, 314-436-7900. That is the number to call or text. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on KMOX 1041, the voice of St. Louis. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, and I am joined today by Margaret Cartaya, also from Pointer Landscape. She's a horticulturist in our maintenance department, and we are both here to answer all of your garden-related fall gardening, houseplant, you name it. We'll try to answer it. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. And we did get a text, and the question is basically asking, they planted some grass seed in early October, it's germinated, and now they want to know, when is it time to mow that? They have a garden tractor, they're kind of worried about damaging and killing it. So what's some good advice for those of us who may have overseeded or even did some spot seeding in our yards now that all that has germinated?
So that's an excellent question. Minimum is 3 to 6 weeks, but really I would say 6 weeks minimum, especially if you're using larger equipment and you want to make sure you're cutting it high for whatever grass type it is that you have. We already talked about fescue. You can mow it at 3 inches. Bermuda can be a little bit lower, and then zoysia can be 3 inches to 4 inches. And again, that first mow is going to be a little high. I'd say 1.5 times the recommended height. So you're going to lift that mower blade up, whatever equipment you're using, and make sure that the soil is relatively dry so you're not compacting the soil, because those new roots are not very strong yet. I really try to wait the 6 weeks. I know it will look a little hairy to begin with, but that's okay.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you're just overseeding your whole yard and you needed to mow, I think that's a little bit different. You know, I think most people that overseed just continue on their regular mowing. But if you're really trying to get some turf established, especially if you have a larger patch, that's really important to wait that time frame so that it gets rooted in very well. So good advice and great question from our text line. Up next, we have Steve on the line. Steve's got a question about his lilac bushes. They are not growing. Steve, what's going on with your lilacs?
Well, I've tried it a couple times in a couple different places, and I plant them, and they die. That's just so. Always. So I'm not sure what I'm doing wrong.
Well, before Margaret gets into answering your question, we literally just said on a break that you don't really know. You don't know a plant until you kill it 3 times. So
I know it pretty well.
So now, this time, it's going to be spectacular. So are there any symptoms of, like, what's going on? It's just totally, it's fine, and then it dies? Like, what's this look like?
So I dig the hole, make it about 2 times the size of the plant, put some soil mixture in there, I don't want to say potting soil, but some garden soil mixed with some dirt, mm-hmm. a little bit of fertilizer, and then I let it sit and I water it.
Okay.
And every single time, they just die off.
Well, so a couple questions. What kind of lilacs are you planting? Are you planting the kind of tall colonizing or the more shrubby, like Asian Miss Kim variety? Do you know?
The smaller.
Okay. And what soil conditions do you have? Do you know if you have clay soil? We have a lot of clay here in Missouri.
Right. It's somewhat clay.
Okay. Have you done a soil test?
No.
Okay. And what kind of sunlight conditions are you trying to plant in? I know you said you planted it a couple different places.
Full sun.
Full sun. Well, so that should be good. How often are you watering, and what time of year are you planting?
They were on sale. I bought them at the hardware store.
Yes.
I think it was spring once and fall. No, I think it was spring both times.
Okay. All right. So this past year was very wet, and lilacs can be a little susceptible to fungal issues here in Missouri, especially because we have so much humidity throughout the summer, and this year was, we had a lot of moisture. So that might have contributed. Are you noticing the leaves kind of browning out? Are you noticing any lesions on the stems, like black or weeping wounds?
I haven't seen the lesions, but the leaves brown out.
Okay. So that does seem pretty typical for how lilacs do here until we get them established and they're a little healthier. They do need a little bit of babying, and that's not your fault. That's just kind of how Missouri is. So what we can do to help them along is, are you putting any kind of assistance for drainage in the planting hole? And when you say you're making it two times the size of the plant, are you making it wide or deep? Sorry, that's a lot of questions for you.
That's okay. Yes, wide and deep, and then filling it up with loose soil until the crown of it's just above the ground.
Sorry about to interrupt you. We have to take a quick break, guys. We're over time, but we'll finish answering this question when we come back. 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
At your service, it's the Garden Hotline, sponsored by Chesterfield Valley Nursery, a celebration of his beauty on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
We are back to the second hour of the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape. And my guest today is Margaret Cartaya from Pointer Landscape. Margaret's passion for horticulture began while volunteering at the Temperate and Linnaean houses of the Botanical Gardens. Her love for the outdoors quickly confirmed that a career in gardening was the perfect fit. She pursued evening horticulture classes at Merrimack and gained practical hands-on experience at Forest Park Forever, where she established lasting friendships and industry connections. Margaret now focuses on working with residential clients to design, maintain, and enhance their beautiful properties and landscapes. Margaret, welcome back to the second hour.
Thanks, Michelle.
So Margaret sells maintenance contracts. If anybody needs help out there with ongoing maintenance, that's kind of what she does for Pointer. She, you know, does design work. If you guys want to reach out and get her to come to your house to figure out a nice maintenance plan for you, or you have a small little garden design that you want to do in the spring, Margaret is here to help. You can reach her at pointerlandscape.com, 636-256-2600. That is the number to call. And we're going to get back to Steve, was on the line before we took the break, and we kind of had to cut him off so we could listen to the people that pay for you to listen to our show. So Steve, thanks for your patience. And just to kind of wrap that up nicely, when we put new plants in the ground, they need, like Margaret was kind of saying there, they just need a little bit of extra care and paying attention to for the first several weeks, even month or two, while they get their roots established. So when they don't have established root systems, that watering component is really crucial. And she was alluding to the wet spring that we had, which, you know, we can't have too much moisture, and then drying out is also a huge problem. So even if this plant dried out for a single day, that could be long enough if we have heat for it to die. So that consistent deep watering is really important. And then also letting those roots dry out. Most plants anyway, or average landscape plants, can't sit in a lot of water before they get established. So just consistent watering, come up with a schedule that makes sense for your soil type. You know, everybody wants to know exactly how much should I water my plants? And the answer is very, it just depends on what kind of soil is in your garden. So the best thing to do is look at your soil, look at the plant, keep your eye on things, water it, let it dry out. You might have to put your hands down in the dirt to see if it's still wet or if it's dry. But that's kind of the best way. It's just the thing that I can recommend the most when planting is just consistent watering. So I hope that helps for you, Steve. Margaret, before we get into it, I'm going to say the phone number one more time, 314-436-7900. That's the number to call or text. But Margaret, let's talk about, what's got your interest peaked right now? What's going on outside of work, but still relevant to gardening? Are you reading any books? Are you using, any apps? Are you going to any events? What's going on in your world?
There are a lot of events in St. Louis. There's always a ton of events. But the thing that really has me talking to people in and out of the industry is a wonderful book I just read with a book group called Light Eaters. By Zoe Schlanger. I might be saying her last name wrong. There's an umlaut in there, so I apologize if I'm saying that wrong. But it is about the evolution of plants, and then I'm going to say it in air quotes, but the intelligence of plants and how they have adapted, but also how they can interact with the world on a daily basis. So just absolutely fascinating. I think I've gotten a couple people at work to read, or
yes, I have ordered it. I have picked it up from the St. Charles County Library. It is in my possession.
All right.
Yeah, so I can't wait. I mean, Margaret is always talking about books. Her Aaron Goss, who's on the show from time to time, they are always talking about books in the office. And this The Light Eaters is the name of it. It seems really interesting. I can't wait to read it myself, but for you guys out there listening, it was The Light Eaters is the name of the book, and Zoe Schlanger, I think, is how you say her last name, but check that out. I think that you might hear us talking about that on an upcoming show. Any other books that you're reading right now that are interesting, or anything else you want to pitch?
I'm reading so many books right now. And some of them are about cordyceps and zombies, which is not really related.
I mean, I actually just got a book. It's called To the Trees. And it is a book I'm drawing. Marguerite Holloway was the name of the author. I just started reading that. But she's actually just a environmental reporter for New York Times. And randomly took like a women's tree pruning workshop, mm-hmm. and then I think got obsessed with learning about that, and then wrote this book called To the Tree. So I just started reading that, and I think that's one of the things that there's so much out there for us to read, so many books, so many articles, a lot of podcasts out there. So I'm grateful that you guys are listening to us talk about your gardening questions. And then I want to mention also, speaking of events, next weekend, the Garden Hotline will be live from Chesterfield Valley Nursery. They are one of our show sponsors. So we're going to go out there and hang out with them next Saturday from 8 to 10. We're going to be live. So if you guys want to come out and say hello and, you know, help the sponsor of our show, let's give them some, show them some love for showing us some love. You can stop by our table in between, you know, breaks and say hello. But that's at Chesterfield Valley Nursery. And that will be next weekend. On the 22nd from 8 to 10, I'm going to hang around a little bit after. They have some really cool, last time we were out there, they have some really, really cool Japanese maples. They have some really big trees. They have great plant products. So I believe they have some sales going on. So check that out. Check out Chesterfield Valley Nursery and then come say hi next weekend from 8 to 10 as we do a live show out there to support them. And if you guys have any questions for us, let's hear them. 314-436-7900. That is the number to call. We're going to take a quick break. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I'm the Director of Horticulture at Pointer Landscape. And I'm joined today by Margaret Kartaya, a horticulturist from Pointer Landscape. And we are here answering all of your gardening and plant-related questions. The number to call, 314-436-7900. You can also text that number if you don't want to be on air or you're too shy to ask your question or talk to me and Margaret. We are the nicest. We would love to hear your voice. But if that is not for you, give us a text and we'll try to get to those as soon as possible. We're going to go straight to the phone lines because we've had poor Joanne has been waiting a really long time. She's very patient. Joanne, it sounds like you've got something in your garden that you're not sure what it is. You want to tell us what's going on?
Yes. I have a garden that I used to have tomatoes, but I planted mint and the mint overtook it, so now I put my tomatoes in pots. That said, I will go back and clean that area out from time to time, and I was out there and I found something, these green things, and when I take a picture of them, it comes up that it's a pawpaw, but there's no tree. Mm. They grew on a vine on the ground. I just cut one open while I was waiting, and it was pretty juicy with a lot of little seeds in it. I would say they're like 3 inches long, sort of elliptical, but like pointy on one end. Any idea? And I guess I'm concerned, are they poisonous for my dog or the deer or anything?
I love, yeah, okay, so so this is like a mystery. We're going to solve it for you. We're going to try our best,
best.
Because the description, I think I have a couple of ideas. Margaret might have one, but it's so hard for us to tell what things are. But I love, you said you had a green thing. I think you said it was squishy, or those are very descriptive.
It's a smooth outside.
Yeah.
When I cut it in half, there was a lot of fluid in there.
Okay.
You know,
So number one, if we don't answer, we're going to give you some options of what we think it is. Then you're going to Google it and see if any of the things that we tell you might be it. And then if not, you can go post it on my Facebook or Instagram. Send me a message with the picture and I'll look it up and we can identify it later. Yes. But STL Plant Nerd on all the social medias. So if we don't
identify it, send me a photo, because that's actually the best way for us to do it. Margaret, what is your guess on what this is?
Okay, so I think it could be the native passion fruit that we have here in Missouri. It has a beautiful, it does grow on a vine, so that's a little tip off. And it has a smooth fruit. Sometimes when it's super ripe, it'll get a little wrinkly on the outside. It is green. It is a little oblong egg-shaped, and it has a lot of, I sort of hate to describe it this way because it is tasty and they're beautiful, but they're sort of like a snot-like texture on the inside.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds sort of similar.
Yes. So it could be that, but I don't want to tell you that it is. That is edible. However, a lot of things might not be. And I think Michelle also had an answer.
Yeah. So my thought is that it's a milkweed vine. These guys are weedy little vines that kind of grow through up your fences, and they put on long 2 or 3 inch pods that are kind of elliptical in shape, and when you crack it open, sometimes there is a little juiciness to it, but there's like a gazillion, really the only thing that's on the inside is like a gazillion little seed pods. So my guess is a milkweed pod from the milkweed vine, but you know, it could be something else. So yep. Check out pictures of both of those. Like I said, if that doesn't answer your question, send me it on Facebook or Instagram. Send me a message. You know, there are also some apps out there. I think you said you might have taken a picture and it told you it was a pawpaw.
Yes.
So I'm not sure what app you're using, but try to, you know.
Well, I think I just did a Google search or you know, like a Google Lens or something, and yep.
Okay. Yeah. So check that out. And again, I hope that helps you figure out
what's what's your Instagram again?
It's STL Plant Nerd, and that's on Instagram and Facebook. So always happy to.
Great.
Again, so hard for some of us to answer these questions without pictures. So.
Oh, I get it. But I just went out there and I thought, what is this?
Yeah, that's a great.
Okay. Yeah, great question.
And then last fall, I did some volunteer things, and I saw pawpaw trees, and I thought, oh, I really would like a pawpaw tree. And then when I took a picture and it said it was a pawpaw, I thought, oh, great.
Yeah. If it's viney and not woody, it's probably not a pawpaw, but you could go and get yourself a pawpaw because they're pretty cool trees. Yes. So I do think that that's a great idea. You deserve a pawpaw tree.
I agree.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for your patience. All right.
Okay. Bye.
Up next, we have Chris on the line. Chris has also been waiting a really long time. You have a question about an oak tree?
Yes, I have two questions. My first easy question is what do I do with my liaropi for the winter?
Well, so we wait until the spring to cut your liaropi. We really don't touch liaropi at this point in time. There are some people who really like to cut it back because it's tidier, but we don't do that. It tends to do better with the temperature changes and the sudden drops that we tend to get. So we like to leave the foliage up and then cut it back in the early spring, late winter, early spring.
Yeah, before it pushes out new growth.
Yep.
How sharp do you cut it?
Above the crown, so it's usually a couple of inches above the ground.
Okay, and thank you. My next question is, I have an oak tree, 40-ish years old, and I have decorative stones outlining it, and they're getting pushed up by the roots. I have several times just cut roots off I'm old. I don't want to do that anymore. So who do I get to come and fix that? Do I get an arborist or do I get a landscaper or who do I call?
Well, Michelle, do you want to take this?
Yeah. So I think it's going to depend on what your ultimate goal is. If you're worried about the tree health and what that looks like, you should call an arborist. If you want to remove and or move the bricks to maybe a better location or have them reinstalled for the health of the tree, you can call a landscaper. I mean, not to you know, plug myself, but Pointer, it is something that Pointer could do if you wanted to give us a call. But again, just having, if you're worried about the health of the tree, I would have an arborist come out and evaluate it. If it's, you want to either remove the stones, maybe it's just time to take those out and do something else. Maybe you just need a little mulch ring around instead of a brick ring. That is something that you could have a landscaper, you know, and if you have a horticulturist, a gardening company come out, then they might be able to help you with both, just kind of evaluating those roots and if putting the bricks back around it is a good option or not.
Okay. We don't want anything to happen to this tree, but sure. I need that enclosure around it.
Yeah, so there are some options. I think just getting out you know, a good company that knows plants as well as hardscaping, just so they can take some care about the trees, because you could call people and they'll just come and chop those roots up. But I really want to stress that you probably, especially close to the tree, it's really important to not cut those roots. It's less of an issue if you cut a few of them further out, like farther, like closer to the drip line. But when you're dealing with something potentially that close to the trunk, it's important for the health of the tree to not be chopping up the roots.
Yep.
Okay, so Pointer Landscape would be someone that would be good to
you
call.
You can call Margaret. She can come out and see what you need, but she might be a good person to come out and check out your tree and what you got going on and any other things that you might need out in your yard.
Okay, and maybe you can tell me how to keep it from dropping a million leaves.
Yeah, if she can tell you that, then we're going to be rich.
We're going to patent that soon.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I appreciate your help.
Yeah, thanks so much for the call. We're going to do a quick text question here because we're going to have to take a break. But on the text line, we had a question about can we keep overseeding? We're, you know, at November, we're in the middle of November, and can we keep overseeding or can we still overseed? I'm just going to answer this real quick before we go to the break. We had Kevin from Spectrum Lawn Care on last week, and he told us that it might be we're getting to the end, but because we've had some warmer temperatures, it's kind of extended that line. The grass seed will germinate between 50 and 65 degrees soil temperature. And right now in St. Louis, our soil temperature is still hovering around 60 degrees. So your seed will germinate. There are some caveats to that. We have a huge amount of leaves dropping right now, so that will affect. And we're, you know, you still have to water. So, and then depending on what this weather does, if we get a change in the weather and it gets really cold quickly, that new grass might struggle a little bit to stay established and stay alive if it freezes too soon after it germinates. So I always think gardening is one big experiment. So if you have grass seed and you want to throw it down and give it a try, great. Just make sure you can keep a lot of that leaf litter off of the grass while it's trying to germinate and grow. So great questions in that segment. Still have plenty of time to answer your questions. 314-436-7900 is the number to call. You're listening to the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX. Welcome back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West, the Director of Horticulture at Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by Margaret Cartaya, also from Pointer Landscape. We are two awesome horticulturists here in the studio answering all of your planting questions, your fall gardening questions. 314-436-7900. That's the number to call. You can also text. I will say that the text line has so many questions right now. We're going to try to get to as many of them as possible. But we're going to go straight to the phone lines now because we have Roger, who has been super patient. Sounds like you have a tree with some deer damage. What's going on out there, Roger?
Well, we planted this tree about 4 years ago. It's a really nice old maple tree. The main trunk is about 2 inches in diameter. It's probably about 15 feet tall. We had deer visitors here this last week, and one of the deer decided to leave his mark, scraped up the trunk about 3 foot above ground level. and you know, the bark is shredded and so forth. In an area of probably about 6-7 square inches, and again, there's some of the bark is loose. I'm wondering what I can do to maybe have the tree. Well, it'd be great if it would heal itself, but I don't want to do anything that would keep that from happening.
Well, so there are. We talk about plants the same way we talk about ourselves, but plants don't really heal the same way we do. They can form protective layers, and your tree has already started this process. There's three chemical walls that your tree will basically form to stop rot and disease from entering the cambium layer. That's the xylem and phloem. That's how the water and nutrients passes up and down the trunk. The last layer, what we usually consider healing, is basically the bark forming an even harder wood called cuticle wood that will eventually seal off that area that's been exposed. Now, trees are robust and they want to live, and this has been in the ground, you said, for a number of years now, so it probably has a decent root system, yeah?
Yes, oh, definitely.
Okay. It's a tough time of year because, you know, the leaves are falling anyway, so you probably aren't going to notice real damage until the following year or a couple of years, except for what's on the bark. I have gone through a class where we would kind of straighten and fix the damage to the trunk. By creating a smoother line for the plant to try to form that wood over. But I would not recommend that for someone who doesn't, you know, hasn't spent years kind of training with pruning and touching trees. So what you really can do is just leave it be. Put up deer fencing, and maples just have a thinner bark. They do take damage sometimes, and it is unfortunate. We try to put it up earlier than they start rutting and rubbing their antlers, the velvet off their antlers. So, I mean, end of August, beginning of September, you can really put that deer fencing up and take it down in the spring, or leave it up all year round. That's up to you.
Okay. Now, some of the bark that was shredded, I mean, it's, you know, it's actually peeled back and stuck out. Would it be a good idea to maybe take a razor and carefully cut that part that's actually disconnected from the wood of the trunk?
Yeah, you can do that, especially to prevent further tearing. But yeah, just do be careful. It sounds like you have the right equipment. Just a little razor blade or a box cutter would be good. Something clean.
Okay. All right, then. Thank you very much. I appreciate this.
Thanks for the call, Roger. Great question about deer damage. I think this is a really common thing that is happening around St. Louis right now. We do always recommend putting up, if you have a smaller tree, anything that's probably less than, I would say, you know, 3 or 4 diameters or less, so a younger tree that hasn't really put on a lot of growth yet, those deer will come through and they love those baby trees. And it doesn't take much to cause that damage. So putting up a little bit of a barrier is really all it takes. Some people will use like a coated wire fence. I think that works really well. It's relatively inexpensive. You know, there are all kinds of things that people will put around their trees. And even your, you know, if you have a smaller magnolia, we talked about this, I think, on the last show, they will put their branches in some of these smaller multi-stem trees with a little bit of a scent, which sometimes the magnolias will attract them for that. But definitely try to protect your fence. And I think Margaret's advice is solid. You know, cleaning up any of that, of those things that are hanging on so you don't have further damage. But waiting and seeing is really the best advice. You know, back in the day, I think a lot of people would have recommended to put there, you know, were things that you could put over that wound or wrap it, but absolutely do not do that. You know, letting it kind of air out a bit. We talked on the last show that if you think about a Band-Aid, if you were wounded and you put a Band-Aid on your finger and you got it wet or you wore it all day long, you take that Band-Aid off, the skin underneath there is kind of shrivelly and gross, right? So when you wrap that tree, moisture can get in there, and it really can make things worse. It really opens up that tree to more pest and disease issues. So the best thing you can do is leave it alone. If you're super concerned about it, like I said, call an arborist. There may be something that they can do, you know, a little bit of what Margaret was saying. There may be some cuts that they can make to clean up that wound to make it a little bit easier for that tree to heal itself. But I would definitely, again, trees to me, not a DIY topic. So call an arborist if that's something you want to do. But waiting and seeing, it's about all you can do. And then protect any trees that you haven't got that deer protection on. Up next, we're going to go to Terry is on the line. Terry, go ahead with your questions.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I have a row of roses in a landscape bed that's at the edge of a large patio with an in-ground pool. And I'm wanting to know, they're Milano roses. I don't know if you're familiar with those or not. They're kind of like knockout roses. How much mulch should I put around those roses?
So this is going to be, I want to see what Margaret has to say. We talk about this all the time. People have, this is one of those topics where depending on what horticulturist you ask, there may be a different answer. So I'm interested to see what Margaret says here. Not, I'm going to put her on the spot. What's the right answer, Margaret?
Thank you, Michelle. And I think we talked about this earlier in the show too. We will have potentially different answers here. So I am not familiar with the Milano rose, but if they are like the knockout rose, you will wait until they're dormant, and you can prune back the older canes and the dead canes. And I presume you're looking to kind of overwinter them, and you're looking at how to keep them healthy through the cold winter, yes?
I wanted to know how much mulch should I put down, you know, over the ground, over the roots, after they go dormant.
Okay. So you can leave them up about 2 feet and kind of mulch up over that crown. Some people will put a little cage over that to help keep the mulch in place. I've found I've not needed to unless it's a really windy situation. But that you're going to know your location better than I do. Michelle, I'm going to toss it back to you.
So I am on, that is a very, you know, that advice that Margaret just gave, a couple of feet up to the, you know, up on your shrubs. I'm going to say leave it alone. I am of the opinion that roses should just be left alone. I don't like to prune them. I don't like to cover with mulch. And we talked about this a little bit on the last show as well. You know, like there are so many different rules of thought on this. I actually saw a video of somebody, I forget where it was from, but somebody up north had dug a trench beside their rose and laid it over.
Oh, like a fig tree.
And then, yeah, and then they buried it with soil and mulch. And then once things start, you know, like coming back to life in the spring, they like unbury it and pop it back up. I think that roses are going to do what roses are going to do. And that protection from the mulch isn't just a ton of protection. So we're doing that for winter damage. And if we have a hard winter, that little bit of mulch to me isn't really going to do that much. And it can open up, you know, just like we were talking about those trees, that moisture that the mulch holds in. If you have like a little bit of damage to the tree or a little wound or something that you may not see, that moisture that's holding around that the base of the rose, that can let all of that kind of pest and disease seep in. So I think roses are going to do what they're going to do. Margaret's advice is also valid, right? I hear people do that all the time. Mm-hmm. I think if you put mulch on it, it's probably going to die. And then if you don't put mulch on it, it's going to die, right? Like it's going to do the opposite of whatever you're going to do. I think that's what gardening is. Like it's just one big experiment. But so I think both ways are fine. But if you're going to do it, a couple of feet, I think, is back to summarize Margaret. We could have just said 2 feet and moved on, but we made it into something much bigger.
Okay. And it's similar. I have some small spruce trees about 5 feet that I put in another landscape bed. And I kept them watered pretty well, and they survived the drought. I had a really bad drought right where I live. Should I continue to water these right now going into winter?
Sorry, did you say you just planted them this year?
Pardon?
The short answer is yes.
Yeah, definitely continue to water, especially evergreens are going to need to be watered. Just pay attention to how much rainfall. We don't want them to dry out, especially when we know a freeze is coming.
Yep.
or the weather is coming to, you know, be cold for an extended period of time. Just make sure all of your trees, but especially evergreens, get watered. But this has been some great questions, Terry. I really appreciate the conversation about roses. Thanks for the call. We're going to take a quick break. We only have one more segment left. I know you can't believe it. It's going to have to be a speed round. We got a couple people on the line. Not sure if we're going to get to everybody or get to all the texts, but you're listening to the Garden Hotline. This is 104.1 KMOX. We are back to the Garden Hotline. My name is Michelle Reeser-West. I am the Director of Horticulture for Pointer Landscape, and I am joined today by my colleague, Margaret Kartaya.
Hello.
Margaret, you've been doing a good job. Are you having fun?
Yeah, this is great. I can't believe the 2 hours are almost up.
I know. It really flies by when we have a lot of great calls. We're going to go up quick. We have so much to talk about and like no time left. So we're going to make this a little bit of a speed round so we can get to as many people as we can. Bill, you've been waiting for a bit. Thanks for your patience. Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, yesterday I planted a catawba tree. Was in a pot, a big pot. It's about 3 feet tall, but it has not a straight trunk. It's straight, but then on the bottom of the trunk, it's got a little crook that goes down.
Okay.
And then to the roots, should I put that above the ground or below the ground?
Well, that should definitely be above the ground. We talked about this a little earlier, kind of getting that root flare, and that's just where the trunk looks a little wider at the base, including kind of those little crooks sometimes that you get more wild trees like catalpas. I love catalpas. When I was learning how to plant trees, we learned to look at the middle third of that tree and try to get that middle third straight or straight-ish. And then the tree will take care of straightening itself out. It will grow towards the light. It'll grow upwards. And you don't have to worry about that. The base will just continue to grow as the tree is healthy and kind of grows up. And catalpas look a little twisty anyway when they grow.
Yeah, it's a cool tree.
Yeah, they're really cool.
It's a great choice. Hope that helps,
Thank
Bill.
You.
Up next, we have Mike on the line. Mike, go ahead with your question.
I just kind of want to recommend a flower that I planted last year in February. I get a little restless. I bought this plant on the home shopping network. The proven winners, it's called a Perfecto Mundo. They call it that. It's an orange reblooming azalea. And, boy, this time of the year, it is just in full orange bloom, and it is just a beautiful plant if you want something for fall plant. Cause it's supposed to be ever-blooming, but This is the first time that after I planted it last year, I just think it finally got its strength and all. But it is sure pretty. I just wanted to recommend that. It's a proven winner's plant if anybody's looking for something fall blooming that's beautiful in color and flowers, you know.
Well, thank you so much, Mike, for calling in and telling us about that. You know, people really like azaleas. It's one of the, I think, most common ones that, you know, when people call in, it's one that people know for sure. Mm-hmm. So it's one that is often recommended. But it's good to hear that it's doing well for you. You know, azaleas don't always do that great for us long term. And these reblooming types are, I'm still kind of on the edge about them because they're kind of on the edge of our zone.
Yep.
So sometimes if we do have a hard winter, they don't do great getting through the winter. But he said Perfecto Mundo azalea was the type that he had. So thanks for that recommendation, Mike. I can't wait to check that one out. I'm not familiar with it, but
and orange is a great color
and
too.
Orange
Thank
yeah you.
You
don't see that enough in the garden, so thanks for that recommendation.
One other thing is the guy that's planting the catalpa tree, get ready for some big leaf drops this time of year.
Yeah, but that's worth it. They're so pretty.
Yeah,
the flowers are great.
Yeah.
All right, thanks Mike.
All right, have a good day. Bye now.
You too. Bye-bye.
I'm going to go to a text line here because it kind of goes back to a comment that we had earlier. It says, I live on 4 acres with 2 acres of woods. I've cleared most of the honeysuckle. Great job, by the way. Cleared most of the honeysuckle, but now I have pawpaw trees as an undergrowth. Is this a problem? Margaret?
Is that a problem?
Well, I can't think of what kind of problem. Are you allergic to pawpaws? I can't think of a problem that would cause. I think you need to get in touch with Joanne.
Yeah,
who really
she wants
a pawpaw.
Yeah, I think pawpaws are a great native tree. They do kind of colonize as they grow, but I don't think that's a problem. It's they're great trees. They're great to have around. Great native fruit, delicious fruit, if mm-hmm. you ask me. So I don't personally think that is a problem. So let those go, and you have some free native plantings. And thank you so much for getting rid of
the honeysuckle.
I can't stress that enough. We've got to get rid of that as much as possible.
Yeah.
But, you know, guys, we're nearing the end of the show. I want to thank Margaret from Pointer Landscape for coming in. Again, if you guys want any kind of maintenance services, she can help you with that. PointerLandscape.com, 636-256-2600. That's the number to call. If you need to find me on social media. If you have questions about the show, I post stuff after the fact. If you guys have pictures you want, you can always get in contact with me in that way. STL Plant Nerd is Instagram and Facebook. Again, next week we are going to be live from Chesterfield Valley Nursery from 8 to 10 on the 22nd. So come out and say hi and visit this establishment that brings this show to you guys every single week. If you missed any part of this show, you can also find us on the Odyssey app or Apple Podcasts. Thanks so much for listening. It's been the Garden Hotline on 104.1 KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's what you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.